your money. And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Becky. Hi.
Good morning. We've got something special today. Mark and I are going to talk about something for buyers. How do you know if it's really the right time to buy a home for you? And then we're also going to kind of segue into sellers. What should you do if you're ready to move or ready to put a property up for sale? So many of the properties we sell now are not primary residences. They are properties that, from a probate, properties from an estate, rental properties, they're not as much primary residences as we usually see.
Exactly. And so we have a great conversation going on today, and it is Becky Ivins, Mark Carr, and you, the listener. So if you want to join in and join the conversation today, we would love for you to call in. The number is 405-840-1000, 405-840-1000. Where do you want to start today, Becky?
Well, let's just say, you know, when you're trying to decide whether or not to buy a house, what are the questions you should ask yourself? And there are three or four questions that are pretty pertinent, actually. The first one is, do you have a stable job? Whether you've, even if you have cash.
Do you know, this is one of those that oftentimes when you have one transition in life, you end up having three and four different transitions in life. Yeah. And some people, when they're transitioning a job, they think maybe it's time to make a move or you know,
settled on a place to live. So rather than rent, they think it's time to buy. And of course, we would love everyone to be able to buy, but there are times when it might be best to just rent. So what we're talking about today is, do you have a stable job? Let's just say your uncle died and left you enough money to buy a house. So you don't have to worry about the interest rate. But do you have a stable job to keep up that house, to keep the utilities on, pay the insurance, and pay the property
taxes?
And then if you don't have Uncle Fred, right, that's going to die and leave you all this stuff, then you need a stable job to make the payments.
I just wanted to apologize to anybody who's an Uncle Fred out there, because we often use you, Uncle Fred, as an example.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people have Uncle Freds. and not just you having a good stable employment, but how about your company? Companies go out of business, and you no longer have a job. So you know the status of your company.
Well, if you're in an industry that is going through a transition, like often the oil business is in a growth mode and they're in a layoff mode.
Well, yeah,
just being aware.
It's a more volatile industry, the energy industry, basically.
Can be a time. Or like if you're military, one of the things is, how long until you get your next
train? That's the next question that you need to know is, how long do you plan to live there? If you plan to live there 3 years, you might think about renting. It's hard for a property to gain the 7%, 8%, 9% that it's going to cost you to sell that, because you've got to bring your abstract to date or title insurance and that kind of, there's cost involved
there's in cost.
Selling a property.
Yeah.
And the real estate commission is a big cost. Mm-hmm. So be sure to find a good realtor that's going to earn their money. That's for sure. But how long are you going to plan to live there? I mean, it's a good idea if you're planning to stay put over 3 years. Okay. But homes typically increase about 2 or 3% a year. In the middle of the country.
In the middle of the central, right.
Right. In the Midwest, South, kind of, yeah. Not the coastal areas, because those are much more volatile.
Well, the great thing for, you know, our listening area, our area we work, is that we are not volatile when it comes to the housing market, that we don't have big swings up. We don't have big swings down.
You know, my saying, where the coastal areas of the U.S. are like riding a roller coaster if you're in the housing industry. It's, I mean, way up there sometimes and way down there other times.
White knuckle hanging on.
Right. But in the middle of the country, it's like riding a merry-go-round. Yes, you're going to get on a horse that goes slightly up and down, mm-hmm. but most of the time you just go round and round.
Yeah.
And that's a good analogy for our Midwest market, which is so different, but that's where we sell. We are licensed in Oklahoma, and we specialize in Oklahoma properties. So if you're going to stay at more than 3 years, it's a good idea to buy a property, usually, depending on if you have the stable job, of course. So what is the other thing? You have to figure out what you can afford, and not the most you can afford, unless you have a very upwardly mobile job. If you are a young physician getting out of medical school and you're making, let's just say you sign on making $90,000 a year somewhere, well, do you want to buy a house that is $800,000? Probably not. I mean, buy about four times your annual salary, and even try to go a little bit less than that, even though that's kind of mid-range. I mean, it's a little upper.
Yeah.
I mean, 350, 360 is a little bit upper in Oklahoma because our average price is just under 300.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a possibility, a likelihood. I'm not going to call it a possibility, a likelihood of making more money pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Right? Now, if you're a school teacher and you're getting out and you're hired on, I don't know what school teachers make, would 40 be? For a beginning school teacher, be about right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So about $40,000, you could buy a $160,000 home. This is just rule of thumb. Now, good luck finding that in Oklahoma right now. I mean, there are some neighborhoods that do have those, but it's real lucky that we are a gun-toting state, because you would need your guns in those areas sometimes.
Yeah, there certainly is this part out there that I ask buyers. Here's the question I always ask buyers when they're looking, not moving from a different location, but looking for different amenities in a home. I ask, what are you looking for in your new home that you don't have in your current house?
Bullet holes? I don't know. Or the lack of?
Sometimes. I mean, there's all sorts of things we hear. Sometimes it's, I want to get away from my neighbors.
That's one. That's a real common.
Yeah.
More common than what people know, because you don't talk about that.
Yeah.
That's why you're selling, is to get rid of your hateful neighbors, you know, or your pesky neighbors, or your, what is it, Gladys Kravitz neighbors? You watch Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yep. So that is a common thing. You want to get closer to something or far away from something. So the locality of where you are locating needs to change because of something in your life.
I always ask a follow-up question when they tell me the neighbor. I said, so are you wanting land so that there is separation between the neighbor, or are you looking for just rolling the dice of finding someone?
That's
the hard part of it, is like, we can't guarantee what neighbor.
Have I told you the real quick story about the people that did not tell me they were moving because of their neighbors?
No.
Well, they moved. They had three little girls, precious little things, and they were kind of young, maybe 4, 6, 8, something like that. And so they moved out to an acreage in a neighborhood away, in a good school district, which they were looking for their kids. And then right after I sold their house, their next door neighbor called me and wanted to sell their house. They had 3 little boys that were a couple years older than those girls. So instead of 4, 6, and 8, they were more like 6, 8, and 10. And they were very rough boys, evidently, according to the other neighbor. So I sold them a place. They wanted to, they loved the other neighbors and wanted to move right next to them. It was tragic. But, so if you want to get, if your neighbors are the reason you're moving,
yeah.
Link in your realtor and
communicate
let them know.
That. So we don't sell them the house right next door to you.
I know.
If you want to join in on the conversation again, the number's 405-840-1000. We would love to hear what you think about when you're thinking about selling or when you're thinking about buying. Tell us what your biggest motivation or thoughts are when we come back right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We are talking about questions you need to ask yourself when you're thinking about making a move or thinking about purchasing, and some tips and tricks along the way. The 3 questions so far is, is your job stable? How much can you afford? And number 3, how long do you plan on living there?
Okay. Little mishap in...
Becky has these glasses that she can change out the front face so it matches her. So she's matchy-matchy with her, the color of her blouse or that she's wearing, and that just came off, popped off, popped right off.
Well, I hit it, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have kind of gone over the things you need to ask yourself if you are thinking about buying a house, okay? And ultimately, the best and more reliable resource is a trusted real estate professional. So we've given tips for someone buying. Now let's talk about if you're selling, the things you need to think about, and then we can decide how do you choose a real estate professional. Okay? So there are 5 reasons a house does not sell. Okay? So what do you figure are some of those 5 reasons? I've got a Casa Perico free lunch for anybody that calls in and tells me one of these reasons that a house will not sell.
Boy, that is a – so the 2 questions we get asked when someone is looking at a house or they call into the office, first they ask, how much is it? Second question is, how long has it been on the market?
And you know they're asking for two – for the seller's motivation.
That's right.
Of why they're selling. I mean, if it's an estate, they know it's going to sell.
Yeah.
Because the court says sell it, right? But how long has it been on the market is a direct correlation with how much the property is going to sell for.
Yeah. Is it going to be discounted? Is yeah. kind of the thought process on it. But then there's a second thought on it that people always ask is, what's wrong with it?
Right. If it's been marked down. Nobody likes to buy a marked down if there's something wrong with it. They yeah. want a sale just because you've got too many or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so call in and tell us. And is that Dean Riddell on the line?
We got Dean Riddell okay. on the line.
NMLS number 196-895.
Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage. Good morning, Dean, and happy Memorial Day weekend.
Good morning, guys. You too.
Hey,
great
Dean,
show.
You probably are calling in to participate in our little contest here, which is you need to answer what is one of the 5 top reasons that a house doesn't sell. Can you think of a reason why a house won't sell?
Well, I think one of them may be overpriced.
Pricing. Ding, 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 ding. You win the Casa Perico certificate. Okay. So that's right. Pricing makes a difference on whether or not a house is going to sell. It can't be too far underpriced or people think there's something wrong with it, or it can't be too overpriced or they'll just pass it by and go look at something that is worth the money, you know. So you can tell us about the mortgage market.
You know, rates have ticked up a little bit, Becky, through this last week. And so, you know, we were making a little bit of progress with rates getting below 7, regardless of loan type. And now we're kind of at that 7%, 7.25% range again. So in this week, particularly, we saw a shift, not drastic, but at least movement going back up again. Fannie Mae has come out with, they project rates to stay in that 7-ish to the end of the year. Well, Becky, that's still a good number.
It's a workable number.
They are. It is. And with the 2-1 buy-downs, and I remind clients every day that, you know, the average rate, you know, through your career and mine, has been 7.75. So 7% is not a deal breaker. It's called creating that asset. Put yourself in a position to grow your asset base.
Well, and an easy part of it is you can always, you have the option of refinancing down the road. Something can change. What I've been telling people is that if we get back down to the 6%, I think prices are going to bump up again.
Well, prices are still bumping up in the neighborhoods that – in the areas of the city that have the most popular schools, that still have the big trees.
Still selling.
Still selling and
quickly
going up.
Yeah.
So we still get multiple offers.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
We just got to continue to educate the buy now and refinance later. I think, Mark, I think you're spot on. Because I do think it breaks my heart to think of the first-time buyers that are waiting for rates to fall. And Mark, Becky, when that day comes, they're going to be shot out of the saddle because it'll be a bidding war, and they don't have the $20,000, $30,000 cash to buy a house then.
Yep.
So you got to your last comment before you broke away to me, Becky, is your trusted real estate advisor, trusted source. My gosh, that applies to selling a house more than ever, because you all are in a tough situation because people think their home is worth typically more than what it is. And that's where you need a Mark and Becky to step in and go, let's talk and let's think.
There you
go. That trusted source, guys.
Well, thank you, Dean.
If you want to reach out to Dean Riddell, SWBC Mortgage, you can give him a call at 405-858-7770 or go to BeckyIvins.com. Click on Becky's favorites. You'll see Dean right at the top.
Okay. Have a good weekend, Dean.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, so the most common question I get is, what do I need to do to my house before I put it on the market? Do I need to fix stuff? Do I need to update? What do I need to do? So let's just think about the obvious things that need to be addressed before you put your house on the market. And I would say anything broken. Like a broken window, like a broken air conditioner, a broken floorboard, a light fixture that doesn't work. Anything that is broken, you need to fix it. And not at an extraordinary cost. I mean, one time I had a house for sale and it was going to cost $80. Now this, it's probably $800 now. That was a while back. To replace the light in the top of an oven to make it was kind of not as bright as it was to show you the temperature and stuff. You could still read it, but it wasn't as bright for some reason. And so let's just say that costs $300 now. Well, would that be worth fixing before you put your house on the market? No. It was an old stove anyway, an old built-in oven. So the new buyer is likely to buy new appliances. Should you buy new appliances? Probably not. If you do, I mean, if you've got a rust-colored refrigerator, yes, buy a new refrigerator. I'll hook you up with my contractor account at Hahn Appliance.
So the big one that people ask you is about carpet and flooring. Mm-hmm. And is it better to get it cleaned out, or is it better to, you know, get it professionally cleaned or replace or leave it as is?
Well, and
it'd be a good one to talk about after the break here.
Yeah, it would. So
when we come back, we'll be telling you the answer to that and much, much more right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, here with Becky Ivins, and we're talking about must fixes before your house goes on the market. And if you would like to join the conversation today, the number is 405-840-1000, 405-840-1000. And we have a Casa Perico gift card. If you call in and tell us one of the five reasons houses don't sell.
Well, the top five reasons that houses don't sell. And one of them is not that they have a ghost in them. I'll give you a hint. Yeah.
Not the Scooby-Doo effect.
Right. Well, let me ask you something, Mark. Do we have a little tidbit, a word of the day?
Oh. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. So, Becky, what's our word of the day?
Okay. Our word of the day, like many times, is a term rather than a word, because it's two words. It's due diligence.
Due diligence.
Okay. And due diligence is when someone takes due diligence. Let's just use this as a noun instead of a verb. But it is taking reasonable steps in order to satisfy requirements before you're like buying or selling something. So due diligence, our word of the day.
Brought to you by Robbins Roofing.
And I want to tell you, your word today ought to be 405-728-3700.
We got some more hail coming in today, I think.
Well, they say, I mean, each time they're crying wolf, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
But you've got to be weather aware. And tonight, it's going to be at nighttime. So that's when people get hurt from
tornadoes. It seems like it's been later.
Sleep through it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, on the roofing, you don't have to have hail to have a damaged roof. It is wind that does so much damage to a roof. So remember that number. Write it down. Have it handy. It's 405-728-3700.
I was talking to my wife, Marissa, this week, who has lived her whole life in Oklahoma. And, you know, I grew up in Oklahoma, moved to Florida, moved to North Carolina, came back. And I said, the terms like nickel, dime, quarter hail, softball, baseball. Like, if you've lived other places in the nation, these are not normal terms. like we just throw them out. Like, it's possible of baseball hail.
Well, I don't know where we got to sports on the hail scale. Because we used to be fruit. I mean, it used to be like apple size, orange size, grapefruit size.
I remember grapefruit hail. That just triggered back probably an old Gary England.
Yeah, well, and it was grapefruit. I lived through that. That was a hard time. I wanted to go out and play in it, but luckily my parents were smart enough to keep us indoors.
Yeah. So we have Linda on the line this morning. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
Well, do you have a question, or are you going to try to make a guess?
I'm guessing top five. Is that location?
Well, that should be the top five, actually. Location is more so a value, what your house is worth, rather than whether or not it's going to sell. But sure. They always say location, location, location. Well, if you're in an adverse location, say you back up to the turnpike and the side of your house is on a busy corner, and you've got economy housing apartments across the street from you, that's going to determine value rather than whether or not it's going to sell. It'll sell for the right price, right?
Okay.
Thank you. But
guess what? We're going to get you. Hang on, Linda, because we're going to get you a certificate. That was probably should have been the number one answer, actually.
It should have been. Like, I'm surprised, like, if it backs up to a railroad track,
location. Yeah. Why it won't sell.
Yeah.
Back in the day, it was if you were in the path of the sonic boom. So, right, Mike Gannon, you remember that, don't you?
Yep. Path of the sonic boom. You're in the flight path of, I think, Air Force Base, Will Rogers Airport back in the day.
Yeah.
There you go.
And like you said, if you back up behind the turnpike, back up on the railroad track, Moore and Norman back in the day.
Well,
before 21st century, the end of the 20th century, all those houses right there along the railroad track.
Right.
A train goes through there at 11 o'clock at night.
And Midwest City has housing that backs railroad tracks. Edmond's got a really cute little neighborhood that backs to railroad tracks. And luckily, they're entry price range, so folks still will buy them. So, Linda, great, great thing on the location, location, location. So that's awesome. Okay, now we're talking about things that you need to do before selling a house, right?
Right.
So you fix anything that doesn't work. Here's some examples. Sinks and faucets. You have to assume that every home buyer is going to turn on every faucet. Now, they typically don't. They're there with a licensed agent, and the licensed agent will remind them that this is not a home inspection, it is a viewing. You can do a home inspection if you decide to buy it. But a lot of people have low water pressure where they are. They want to be sure the water pressure is okay. Or maybe they've got low pressure in a part of their house, and they're wanting good pressure everywhere in their house. So they may turn on the faucets. If you have a buildup of water in a sink when someone turns on the faucets because your drains are not clear, that's a problem.
Clear that drain. You know, more often what I have buyers do is go turn on the shower in the master bathroom, and that is what they gauge the pressure, like the water pressure.
Right.
They want the master shower to have great water pressure.
Well, and then hopefully there's not a – when you're in the master shower, hopefully they're not actually showering there. But so I had someone test a shower one time. She went to the master bathroom and wanted to test the shower. And I looked around. I'm not kidding you. Clothes off, getting ready to test the shower.
Oh no!
that's prohibited behavior.
I've not had that happen. I have had a couple who both got in the shower. They were fully clothed
to see if there was
room. To make sure there was room for both of them
to maneuver. That's pretty funny. Well, but you know, I've had people carry pans around, seeing if they'll fit in an oven. Because of their Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner. And they use these pans every year for the same thing. They want to be sure it fits, right? So if the shoe fits, right?
That's it, yep.
Okay, so on the sinks and faucets, the water needs to run freely from the faucet to the drain, and the drains don't need to be stopped up. And the faucet handle doesn't need to come off in your hand. So
that's it. We have one of our great listeners on the line. Ann, good morning, Ann.
Good morning to you guys. Interesting program.
Thank you. Do you want to guess? Go ahead.
I've been told clutter is a put off for selling a home. If your home is cluttered.
Well, yes, that is definitely you do need to declutter your home, and that might be condition.
Yeah.
So the condition, the presentation of your property to the market needs to be something. I mean, you sell your house by the square foot, right? So if you can't see any room on the floor, it looks like it's smaller than it is. You don't want people stumbling over it. You want them to be able to place their furniture, particularly people who just have like a 2-foot border around every room, like boxes piled up, old dressers and sewing machines and stuff like that, just kind of lining a room. Well, that room no longer looks like a 12 by 12. It looks like an 8 by 8. Because it's lined up around it. And very, very good point. So you're right. Condition is one of the things that will cause a house not to sell.
You summarize things so well, Becky. I love it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ann. Okay. Now, other than the faucets, how about cabinets? You know, you assume that they'll be open because people do open, particularly kitchen cabinets.
Yeah.
So
kitchen cabinets are the big one. So if they are like coming off the hinges, if they have
the hinges sprung and they won't shut totally.
It's one of those things. Just go ahead and fix it.
Or they sag.
Yeah. Because what goes through people's minds when they see something like that, they think, what else has not been fixed?
Well, and also the standard person doesn't even know who to call to fix something like that. Probably Uncle Fred. Uncle Fred knows.
Good old Uncle Fred.
But, you know, if your hinges are sprung out, if you got sagging or you've got, you know, a half-inch gap between your doors of your kitchen cabinets, not good. A lot of paint and chip paint and stuff is not a good thing either. So cabinet doors and drawers should open and close smoothly. So fix them if they don't. The drawers need to be able to stay on the tracks. And sometimes the track's broken.
Yep.
So, okay. How about the ceilings and floors? You know, family, when they come over to visit, they don't look up and down. They look around. But home buyers look up and down when they view a home. So if the floor tiles are cracked or there's a crack running all the way across your floor, well, that probably means there's a significant slab crack, and that will scare off a buyer because they don't want to buy a problem. I mean, people will buy a project, but they will not buy a problem.
So what do you tell people about, we teased this earlier, about carpet, cleaning it, replacing it, or leave it as is?
Well, it had just... whatever it is, it has to be in excellent condition. The flooring needs to be in excellent condition. If it stinks like a dog, well, first of all, call Tim Fain, Excellent Floor Care, or what is it called?
Exceptional.
Exceptional Floor Care. And that's on my website, too, by the way. You just look up BeckyIvins.com and go to Becky's Favorites, and you're going to find it there. But if you've got chipped and cracked tile, it probably needs to be replaced. And you don't cover it up with a rug. There's where lawsuits come from. So if your hardwood floors are scratched and dented, and maybe they have a big gouge across of them, that can be refinished. So take care of that. But I will tell you that most of the time, buyers prefer in the living areas of the home, other than bedrooms, they prefer hard floors. Hard surface, whether it be tile, laminate, engineered wood, a hard floor in the living areas of the home. Most people still prefer carpet in the bedrooms. So if your carpet is worn out, well, then get it replaced. Call my friend Bonnie Miller down at Miller's Floor Store. They will do a good job for you, and they will not charge you a fortune. Well, to do that.
One of the things that I think helps homes so much with flooring is if it is one type of flooring across like the living, kitchen, dining space versus 5 different types of flooring.
If you walk in a house and you can see 7 different types of flooring, that is not a welcoming feel.
Yeah.
It sounds like a project in process right there, even if they're great floors. But if there's
What's
that
the maximum
many
number you've seen?
7.
Oh, 7.
Standing in,
standing
at the, front,
at the
door.
Front door, you could see 7 different flooring.
Yes, and it was, yeah. I mean, homes like that are almost impossible to sell.
It's so difficult with that. We'll be right back with more right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is time for our Smoking Hot Deal. Our Smoking Hot Deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the southwest corner of 122nd and Penn, on 63rd just west of Meridian, at 505 East Main Street in Yukon, and on May Avenue just north of Hefner Road.
Okay, our Smoking Hot Deal today is in the Edgewater neighborhood. Now, anyone that's been around for a long time loves Edgewater. It's got great big mature trees. It's over... It is just on the south side of Lake Hefner.
Yeah, one of my favorite communities.
Beautiful area. This is a big house. It's 2,860 square feet or so. It's got 5 bedrooms and 3 bathrooms, and it's on a nice size lot. It's over a half an acre lot.
Wow.
So if you're looking for that, now let me, it's $275,000, which is $96 a square foot. So that's extremely reasonable price. Now, the ticket here is that this home is vintage. I mean, it's got a very cheerful kitchen, which means it's got yellow countertops. They look to be in good condition, and you can paint those. You could paint it a flat black or shiny black or whatever you want to do. Or replace it with granite or a natural stone of some kind or man-made stone. But also the bathrooms. Oh, my gosh. The bathroom wallpaper is out of the 70s, I believe. Is that when the foil wallpaper?
Foil, yeah.
Geometric foils were in the 70s? Well, definitely out of that era. It's so if you love the 70s and you want to relive them, you need to go see this house. And if you didn't love the 70s, but you want a great deal on buying a house that actually will improve in value if you update it, very few homes increase in value because you've updated them. They might increase 20% of what you spend. Mm-hmm. This one, you're going to get almost all your money back just by wallpaper and countertop. You know, so it's a great thing. It's $275,000. And even though I am going to be spending time with my family, as most of my agents are, this weekend, you can still call and go see mm-hmm. this house. We can take a break and go open the door for you.
We'd love to show it to you. You can go to BeckyIvins.com, click on search listings, and you will see it right there. You can take a virtual tour. You can see that the yellow cheerful, that it's resonating with my childhood. That was our kitchen growing up was yellow, like had yellow the cabinets were painted yellow, and then the wallpaper was like this deep blue with yellow tulips.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. And this is a big ranch-style home, so it's all on one level, which is a great house. 6707 North Woodward, 6707 North Woodward.
And that's your Smoking Hot Deal, brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill.
Okay, we're going to real quickly finish what needs to be fixed on your house. I mean, foundational things, yes. Get them fixed. Get an engineer's professional structural engineer statement. Okay? Doors, they need to work. The front door particularly needs to be inviting and perfectly painted. And major flaws and dents need to be fixed or just replace the front door. But hardware like handles... should be in really good condition and weather stripping. Boy,
that's a big one. I know Barbara Corcoran says most people make up their mind in 8 seconds when they're seeing a house. So your front door, have that lock work correctly. Have the handle work correctly, make it easy to come inside the house. That is a huge, I'm going to tell you, after showing people hundreds of homes, if they get tripped up at the front door, it sours them. I mean, there has to be something beyond it that resonates spectacular.
You don't want cobwebs hanging from the light fixture. And you want it, if there's glass in the door, needs to be clean on both sides. In fact, take a little cleaner to your front door. You'd be surprised. You take one swipe and how much brown or red dirt you're going to find on that thing.
We have some dirt that goes flying through the air here.
Yeah. And, you know, we've been talking about what the questions buyers need to ask themselves, which before they purchase a home. And it's whether or not you've got a stable job, whether or not you can –
How
much you can afford and how long you're going
to
live.
How long you want to be there.
And then the things that you need to fix are things that are broken. You need to be sure your drains drain before you put your house on the market and that the faucets don't leak and the cabinets are good shape and look at your ceilings and floors.
I will tell you one Becky Ivins tip I've heard over again that you need to fix is if it makes people think there's a bigger problem. Like a stain on the ceiling.
Stain on the ceiling's a big deal. So even if the leak's been fixed, people don't want to buy a stain on the ceiling, water stain. So, okay, well, and we will at a later time talk about questions that you're going to ask when interviewing a real estate agent. Thank you guys for tuning in. Mr. Jim Ivins, sing us out.
Always watch over you. And may all of your hopes turn to wishes. And may all of your wishes come true.